anonymous coaching source weighs in their thoughts on Auburn this upcoming season. But where the story is on that is Brian Harsin weighs in on his thoughts on what the source said. And guys, this story, well, it stirred a little bit of pot here in the offseason. Guys, this is the Auburn Daily Podcast. I want to thank everybody, as always, for checking it out on this special audio-only episode. You will not be finding this one on YouTube. We're trying to give the podcast its fair share of love here. So for my folks that are out there audio-only, thank you guys for tuning in. It's your host, Alex. And guys, we're diving in the deep end on this one. So here was the quote here. To Athlon Sports, they do their preseason preview, and this is really nothing new. It's just peak, hey, we got to get through the offseason, get through this year. So I'm going to read this right here. Anonymous coach comments. So we don't know if that's a head coach, an assistant coach, former coach. We don't necessarily know because it is, once again, anonymous. We presume it is a current coach in the SEC, but I don't know if it ever specified. Freeze is going to be the play caller. He won't hand that off to OC Derek Nix, but it's Auburn, so they're used to that with Gus Malzahn. They aren't close to the top end of the league, but they are absolutely better than the Brian Harsin roster at offensive line, receiver, and probably defensive line, too. Maybe they picked up someone late at QB in the portal. Otherwise, expect some improvements from Thorne, but he's not a world beater. They are headed up slowly. Okay, so generally speaking, me personally, now everybody can have their own thoughts on this comment. I don't have any disagreements here. Now, SEC Mike is the one who kind of like clipped this and put it out there, and that's where it really started to go semi-viral in the Twitter sphere. But generally speaking, I don't know how much of this I really disagree with. Play caller would be Nix, Hughes, a combination of both. I said Hughes. Hugh. I think it's going to be fine. I don't think there's anything to really worry about with the play calling. I think just we're hypersensitive from the years of Gus Malzahn and being like really caught up on who's calling the play. So long as it's much less nonsensical than it had been in the past, I think everybody knows games and years that I'm referring to. I think it'll be okay. I think there was a lot of issues with Philip Montgomery. I'm not so much on that stuff with play calling. I think that was more of just like a lot of bad game planning. And I kind of got in some sorts with that and just won't get into that. The page is turned. New start. But the part of this here is they aren't close to the top end of the league. And fundamentally, where we're going to have to be is this is the time of year where every fan base really gets up on the pedestal and is really talking themselves into, we're going to be the best. Like, this is our year. This is the comeback, whatever. And 14, now 16 SEC teams cannot all win the conference. Somebody is going to be good. A lot of people are going to be mid, and some are going to be bad. There's going to be that one team that surprises everybody, and there's going to be that one team that disappoints everybody. So Auburn definitely, I think, in my opinion, has a better chance of surprising than disappointing. I think Auburn has been that disappointing team for quite a few years in a row, and they are doing the right things to build it up. So I really want to say that after 2022, it's really like a nowhere but up type situation. Now, last year may not have gone as high up as we all wanted it to, but I digress. With the exception of just major injuries with the way the schedule played out, it's a favorable situation for Auburn. But I just still don't think going back to the quote here, anybody can look at this and say Auburn is going to be near to the close end of the league. You're going to have a strong case with Georgia. And it's not East and West anymore, so I'm still processing that out of my conversation points. I don't see how anybody can make an argument that it's not Georgia's by and large. I think, and this is just the wishful thinking, but also just based upon the fact, you're going to see a slow downward trend of Alabama. They still got a lot of talent left over from that roster from Saban, so I wouldn't expect a major drop-off there. I don't think they're going to necessarily be competing for the SEC, just what the situation is with Georgia. But Alabama is still going to be, by definition, top of the league. Then you're going to be looking at Ole Miss. Until Lane Kiffin proves it's not happening, that is the good situation they put themselves in. Tennessee, LSU. I mean, that's going to be your kind of duking points for the top. And, of course, Missouri was kind of the big surprise team last year. The question will be, will they be able to keep that going again? Of course, throw Texas in that mix now because Texas is part of the SEC. I think there's going to be a pretty big gap between Texas and Oklahoma. So that would probably put Auburn somewhere in the middle-low part of the SEC. Now, something that I think now and even years prior was, I don't think you can much have an objective argument to, Auburn is better than they were with Brian Harsin. Yes. Okay. Simple answer. Turn the page. So let's talk about how Brian Harsin responded to this. This is his tweet. He quote tweeted this. Coaches do not make these kind of comments. They focus on their programs and their programs only. If a coach wants to make a statement about another program, he will not hide behind, in quotes, anonymous. He will say it publicly with authority. And this had 1 million Twitter impressions, 40 reposts, retweets, 135 quote tweets for those that are on Twitter. That's basically where you take the blurb and then add your own opinion to it. And I can't even see the number, but 341 replies. A lot of which were very disgruntled Auburn fans who were like, what are you doing? We still don't like you. And you can't blame Auburn fans for having a lot of malice for Brian Harsin, because that kind of tells you you're not really looking down the barrel and holding any sort of accountability for the one of the worst two-year stretches of program history, most definitely in modern program football history. It just still sounds like you're kind of resting on these laurels that you always rested on, of like these almost kind of like hallmark inspirational quote leadership type things, but there wasn't that meat to really back that up. I mean, on paper, you want to agree, yes, a coach, a good leader, isn't going to hide behind an anonymous quote, and they're going to stand up, and if you're going to say it, you're going to say it to my face and say it like a man. And sure, but like that's not the day and age this works on. I mean, coaches have been saying things anonymously for a while. Now, Lance Dahl actually did a response article to this, and there had been even some prior contradictory statements from Brian Harsin that almost like kind of went to the opposite of point of what he said. And here, you can read that story of Lance. I won't take his thunder by delving into that, but good stuff there that really just kind of makes you scratch your head. And then the other part of this too would be Brian Harsin was not tagged in these tweets anywhere. He either searched his name or somebody sent it to him and felt the need to chime in. And I'm just sitting here kind of thinking like, I take it in the middle. I do not see Brian Harsin as this horrific villainous, everything he touched just turned to rotten apples kind of guy. I know it is very popular to dog on Brian Harsin, to hate him and disdain everything he did. I think the truth lies a little bit in the middle. I think there were a lot of factors there. I'm not saying I'm necessarily defending him because the results are what they are, but I think a lot of people like vilify him worse than he actually was as a person. But at the end of the day, when you're making the money, you're making the results speak for itself. And fact of the matter is, you got paid a fantastic salary while you're at Auburn, and then you got paid $15 million to leave. So my point of all that is, why even comment? You weren't tagged in this. It wasn't even necessarily directly pointed at you. Like I said, it was either a self-name search or deal, and then you just kind of feel the need to chime in. And my thoughts are either he maybe disagrees that a coach said this, like it was either maybe somehow like made up, or it was kind of like a real coach would never do this, almost kind of like maybe a passive aggressive jab at this, in quotes, source's integrity to act this way. And in modern football, like that's just not how it works. And at the end of the day here, like, what this is, and whoever it was, let's just assume it's an SEC coach. I mean, this is it's a truth bomb for sure. Like I said, I think you can objectively look at this and say, well, it's not necessarily anything factually untrue, but it paints a fairly realistic, non-optimistic light at Auburn. trying to be objective, but that objective fact can still be spun in some form or fashion as negative recruiting from the outside looking in. Just imagine if you'd said something similar to this to, like, Alabama. Oh, well, they'll still be good, but they'll be a slide down. You can't replace Saban and DeBoer, da-da-da-da, anonymous SEC coach. Like, it would be a factual deal, but it's like, maybe that's a thing that is kind of a jab. So if you assume that this is an opponent of Auburn's, okay, maybe so. Brian Harsin, at his time at Auburn, got negatively recruited against a ton, especially after the incidences happened. This was nothing new. Coaches were saying things anonymously behind his back to anyone and everyone all the time, because at the end of the day here, winning isn't about this faux chivalrous coaching integrity, whatever. It is do everything within the rules to win, and sometimes those lines even get a little blurred. But for this conversation, we'll just say within the rules. I don't know why any coach of any opposing team is going to feel bad about saying something about another team, especially when it's like shrouded in somewhat of facts. We were told numerous times from family members of numerous players that were being recruited by Brian Harsin and staff, the things that were said about the staff and the coaching at that time. They're not going to be there. These guys don't know the league. Don't even waste your time even talking to that staff, because they'll be fired in less than a year. Well, inevitably, those things were right. Now, how much of that was almost you kind of spoken into existence? You played the facts, whatever. You had the cards, and the other coaches that were recruiting against Auburn played them. These are things that I had players, family members that were being recruited actually tell me directly. Crazy. I mean, I guess that's not crazy. Like, it's pretty black and white, but it's just what is crazy is the fact that they so quickly let the honeymoon phase of a new coach dwindle to where other coaches could negatively recruit them that quickly. So point of it being here is these sort of comments about the program, like, shouldn't be news. And it's unfortunately just the reality of what it was. I think Brian Harsin is probably a better coach than the record would have let, but I just think there is a threshold of what it takes to coach at the highest level. And I think with some coaches, that does not scale up. I think you can have an exponential fall off. If Brian Harsin had taken a step back and coached again at a lower level, I think his record would still probably be pretty good. When he got to the highest level, it exponentially fell off, because there is so many more aspects of coaching that you have to do at the highest level than you do at the end of the level. And coaching is almost the wrong word. It's that CEO leadership. It is the networking. It is all these various things. And I'm not sure if he was not necessarily prepared to take these on. But regardless, that's what ended up happening. So let's turn the page here. A lot of comments on here. A lot of disgruntled Auburn people. A lot of people actually kind of came to his defense. I shouldn't say a lot. There were some. And of course, you know, those are all retweeted and liked and et cetera, et cetera. But once again, commenting on something and highlighting your own glaring failures when you're sitting on a mountain of cash, crazy to me. So here's the difference here with what Hugh Freeze has to deal with and how he spins this around. Well, what do we look at here? Immediately you see that it is noted out there of the key upgrades that Hugh Freeze has made. Offensive line, absolutely. Wide receiver, don't even think we need to waste any more breath talking about that. Everybody knows. Defensive line, I think that's kind of good. They said probably. It'll be to be determined. I think that's kind of the big question mark. I think people would not be surprised if the defensive line isn't maybe the best it could be, or if it pops out and turns out to be really good. It's just, we'll know once we start seeing some snaps come time the season. But the recruiting, and I didn't want to mention this quote, but what's going on for the next years, and that was subsequently Brian Harsin's failure, is the 2025 class is looking really, really good. Already at this point of the year, floating top 10, pretty much unanimously for most all the sites. And they don't even have a 5-star currently in that class to bolster the averages up. So very well-balanced class right now. And that is just something that wasn't happening. And how Auburn fell so quickly, I mean, you could almost do a 30 for 30 on that. with where Gus Malzahn kind of handed off the program and roster and recruiting position with Brian Harsin, with all that happening during COVID, with all of the kind of Allen Green situation and the hiring and the divisions and all that within Auburn at the moment, or at that moment, Auburn was in a very quick tailspin downward. And it's crazy just how fast that can happen in modern football. And I think it kind of is an inverse deal. It can go up very quickly, but it can also go down really quickly. Well, they say the portal giveth, it ain't taketh away. Well, the portal is not the end-all be-all. We're turning the page of COVID years being done. I think for the most part, very, very rare instance should have somebody had a red shirt and a medical red shirt would even have a COVID year eligible after the season. So when you see junior, it means a junior. It'll be great. It just like it's a COVID year, and it's been the worst. But the bolstering of this will be rebuilding it from the ranks of high school kids. And you look at these recruiting classes that Gus had and even Harsin's. I mean, you're just minus like Jarquez Hunter and a few other guys and a few other like transfer guys. Like it was, and I think Charlie Five said this, and he did a really good episode on this same topic as well, but it was essentially, it was a self-induced probation. Auburn was on a major probation that like they just decided to punish themselves with what had happened with recruiting. And I will say it's amazing that they, from a recruiting standpoint, have pulled themselves out of that as quickly as they have. Because it's one of those things where if you leave something like that unchecked, your most impressionable age group of these kids is going to be like middle school age, typically. Maybe late elementary, early high school, but I think that like 6th through 8th grade, that's when, you know, I kind of hate to say it this way, is, you know, sounds kind of like a goofy comparison, but hear me out on this. It's when puberty happens, you know, young boys getting that testosterone flow and you're playing some middle school sports. You start getting really tuned in to what's going on with football. You're just idolizing these guys, whether they be in college or NFL. You really, you know, you're getting bigger. You are becoming a man. So you start to kind of resonate with those type things, like, wow, look at that, I want to do like he does, because your body is growing at a point to where you can replicate that. I mean, you ever seen like an 8-year-old run? They look kind of goofy running, not super fast, agile. Well, by the time they're 12 and 13 14, like, these kids are pretty dang fast, they're pretty big at, so they're really seeing like, wow, I feel like I can really do the things that these guys that I idolize are doing. So what they're doing is you're imprinting. You're seeing what these guys, who is the hot new player? You're looking at your Patrick Mahomes. All right, maybe you're going down to the college ranks, okay? And you're looking at guys and you're seeing somebody like who would have been let's say he's at 2019 LSU teams, like a perfect example. You're looking at all the receivers on the team. You're looking at Burrow. You're looking at all these guys like doing these just crazy things, and, you know, stellar offense. Could be Auburn. You're looking, maybe you're, you know, a big guy in the trenches. You're looking at a guy like Derek Brown. Like, wow, you know, I want to be like that. Maybe you're kind of the smaller kid who was doubted, and you're looking at somebody like Stetson Bennett, and you're like, you know what, like, you know, the team doubted me. Then when I got my chance, I really showed them. I might be undersized on the strength, but like I got that tenacity that just, you know, no, I got that chip on my shoulder type situation. These things imprint so hard in the kids, and when they're seeing these teams, like, they're picturing themselves in these jerseys. So what happens if you go 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, a decade years, and you're in that hole, you've got a half of a generation of kids that's all they remember. These kids don't remember 2013 Auburn. They don't remember 2010 Auburn. They don't remember 04. They don't remember Pat Dye. They don't remember any of that. Most of these kids in high school, like, probably barely remember the Sean Shivers popping the helmet off play in the 2019 Iron Bowl. Recency bias for young kids is like a very real thing, and that's where especially older fans kind of have a hard time connecting, is kids will kind of see what teams are doing right then and there, and that can play a big factor. So they understand down years, they understand rebuilds, things like that, but when it becomes a consistent, Tennessee's a great example, and after Philip Fulmer, they just got in that hole. Alabama was beating the brakes off of them for, 15, 16 plus years in a row. I mean, Tennessee just kind of got to be the punching bag of the SEC. Heupel and some good star players kind of pulled them out of that echelon. Now people kind of respect the name of Tennessee very, very quickly. Well, Auburn had the inverse of that really since 2019. I mean, 2020 and on, it's just been, this has been, I looked this up, one of the worst four-year stretches of Auburn football. I want to say it was dating back to like the 70s or 60s. There has not been a four-year stretch of Auburn football where they've not had eight or more wins dating back at least 50 years. That's horrible. So what we're saying there is that is imprinting on these young kids and recruits. And luckily, Hugh Freeze is turning the script on that, because what happens is if you don't turn the script on that, and we go another fifth year, sixth year, whatever, maybe the other coaching change, well, what is the conversation around Auburn? Oh, well, that's just who they are. They're, you know, always going to be kind of a mid-tier of the SEC. You know, it just is what it is. You know, go play somewhere else. That's where you got to flip that script. And they have gotten it with the recruits. They got the NIL. They got the alignment. You still got fans showing up. The culture's great. Other sports are looking great, too. But moral of the story there is you got to do it on the field. I think they can do it. You have a good leap this year. You get some flashes in the pan. I think you turn that page, and then that point of that quote there that said they are headed up slowly. I think everybody can agree they're heading up. The slowly part is the part that I think Auburn can absolutely change. Now, I'm not saying necessarily has to happen this year, but I think they can do enough this upcoming year to really set themselves up to leap forward the year after, and they can change that script and perception really fast. Yeah, talking heads, coaches, all that, media, it has an effect. But who you're really trying to impress there, who it really matters, doesn't. It's not Brian Harsin. It doesn't matter anymore. He's gone. It's not any of these media members. It's not the writers. It's not the coaches. All right, let me phrase that. It's not the other coaches. It's these kids that are dreaming of putting that uniform on day. So who is Auburn going to have on this team this year that early high school, that middle school, maybe even elementary school future stars watching on TV or maybe watching in person and saying, wow, that could be me one day. I want to picture myself in that, you know, I want to get my number after that player because that's who I look up to. An example, Johnny Manziel picked number two because of Cam Newton. He saw Cam Newton and said, wow, I love the way he plays the game. And look how Johnny Manziel played the game. Well, unfortunately, Auburn has not had a dynamic player like that in a while that just kind of just transcends that, like, kids lining up to see him, want to see him. I'm not saying Auburn had any good and great players, but that just all heads turned watching this guy. Now, you hear the name Cam Coleman a lot. Could Cam be that guy? I think he's got the talent. I think he's got the flash. I think the excitement is most definitely there. And if that kind of hits the field and you're seeing that, I mean, buckle up. And here's a kind of a fun example. This isn't football related, but a player who's really done that and actually gotten very popular with, you know, we're just going to kind of use the example of the kids here, but that's, you know, for the sake of this conversation, who we're looking as the target of fandom, Chad Baker Mazzara. There are so many young kids up there who want to get his autograph. And even KD Johnson had that to an extent, just because they were exciting, just flashy players who you just loved watching play the game. Not necessarily mean they were the best on the team. Yeah, I mean, sometimes those can go hand in hand. But it's just somebody who's out there who's exciting. Now, if it is a exciting player and they're the best or one of the best, that's always good. But it's somebody that's just fun to watch play the game. You had some flash of that with even Seth Williams of football. It was just watching him get a 50-50 ball and maul somebody when he wanted to was incredible. Just didn't have enough of that. You had a little bit more of that. You maybe have that conversation come a little bit more. Let's hope that this team, maybe we start seeing that player come out of the woodwork. That's that guy that these kids that otherwise didn't necessarily have Auburn on the radar, when the coaches start calling them here in a few years, they pick up and they say, yeah, I really loved watching so-and-so. Those Auburn games are really exciting. I can't wait for my official visit. That's what this stuff's all about. That's what we're hoping for this year. That's what the coaches are hoping for, and us as fans are hoping for. Thank you guys, everybody, for tuning in this audio-only episode of the Auburn Daily Show. Of course, check out the show sponsors, Plains Coffee. Use that checkout code Auburn for 10% off your Plains Coffee. And of course, Oplock and Birmingham Rage Room, where you can go bust all the things. You can get your preseason frustration out right now. Because, you know, it's Auburn. There's always going to be something that's going to give us, you know, hard trouble. So let's just, we know how it is. It is the nature of being an Auburn fan. But guys, thank you so much for listening. Help check out and support our show sponsors, and we'll be back at you again soon. We'll be working on more audio-only content for the Auburn Daily Show.